The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
All right, you are in for a very special treat on today's show because I have co-hosts on today's podcast, and we have some excellent guests, too. I'm very excited about the guests. First of all, we have a couple Olympic athletes, and if you've listened to some of my past podcasts, you know that I am very much into the Olympics. Of course, 2018, they're going to be in Korea, the Winter Games in Pyeongchang. And joining us on the podcast today will be Ted Ligety, who's won numerous Olympic medals in downhill skiing, and Alana Nichols, who's won medals in both the Summer and the Winter Paralympic Games, the only female Olympic athlete to do that, to win medals in both the Summer and the Winter Games. So they're going to be both our guests on the podcast today. We'll have some fun with them. Also, on our show, and she's going to be joining us in just a second, is Dr. Michelle Oakley. Now, you may know her from the Nat Geo Wild show on Saturday night, Dr. Oakley, Yukon vet. And joining me, first of all, we're calling her from the Yukon. And I think it's hilarious that we're calling her from the Yukon because just a few moments before we started taping this, I get from like her producer at Nat Geo, this is what I get.
Okay, here she is. She's in the Yukon, so I hope the quality is as best as I can get it. But she's in the Yukon on the cell, but let's go, better go.
I just love that guy's voice. It's not what I expected when I pick up the phone. Okay, so Dr. Oakley is on hold right now, but I want to introduce my two co-hosts today. They normally work with me on my show in Dallas. I have a morning radio show Monday through Friday on 96.3 KSCS, or you can find us online at kscs.com around the world. Listen to us. Jasmine Sadri and Caitlin Maida, we know her as Connected K. They will be joining with me today when we interview Dr. Oakley because they're huge fans of the show. And when they found out that she was going to be on the podcast, they're like, oh, we want to be part of it. So they are with me. And I will take Michelle, Dr. Oakley, off hold now. And good morning, Dr. Oakley.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure here. Now, first of all, I know there's a lot of people who are geographically challenged who think the Yukon is part of Alaska. Can you tell everybody where it is and what part of the country, what part of the world you are in?
Yes, sir. So the Yukon basically shares a border with Alaska. It's right next door to a little bit to the east. So I'm located in the southwest, and I'm just a couple hours from the Alaska border.
Okay, and you're technically in Canada.
Yeah, but I actually work and we spent a lot of time in Alaska as well, so we're right by the border. The town of Haines Junction where I live is the next town over, which is actually a 2-hour drive. There's nothing in between but a mountain pass. is Haines, Alaska. So kind of I spend time in both places.
So Dr. Oakley, my name is Jasmine. I'm co-host here with Hawkeye, and I have a question for you. Now, I watch your show. I'm an insane animal lover, like psychotically, to where I love animals more than human beings. And I need your advice. I live in Dallas, and I need your advice on how I can convert my home into a clinic.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love to hear that. I have so many people writing in that are massive animal lovers that want to figure out how they can help. And I'm actually going to be starting a nonprofit to try and help organize people to do that more because it's just there's so many people who wanted to be vets, and maybe it didn't work out, but they still want to help.
Yeah, you know? See, Dr. Oakley, so, I wanted to be a vet, but yeah. I couldn't put animals down. That was the one thing that was stopping me. But
She was trying to steal the animals she was going to treat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all want to help, and there's ways we all can. And, you know, sometimes it feels like when you're working with wildlife especially that, you know, it's tough. A lot of them, it's a lot of sad stories and tough cases, but then you get that one, you know, and we have some on the show where, you know, you let that eagle go and you see it fly back to the wild and it's like, oh yeah, you know, the rest is all worth it. Like, this is where they should be and you play your part, you know, you want to help.
Dr. Oakley, yeah, this is on. Connected K. I want to know you were saying that some of these cases are really tough. What is the toughest case that you've had that's been a success?
Ooh, we've got a good one coming up this Saturday. So we've got, actually it's next Saturday, I think, but anyway, in the next few episodes, we have a seal pup coming on.
Oh,
but,
I love seals.
Yeah, and we think a dog maybe attacked it and damaged its eye. So we have to do something about that and hopefully get it back to the wild. So that's a great one. We had a bunch of work we did this year with a wolverine, actually, that was just so cool there.
Wow.
Really Yukonic species, right? They're super tough. They're only about 30 pounds at most, but we actually live trapped them to put radio collars on them in this little It's basically a log trap, like 3x5, solid logs. And once they get caught in the trap, if we don't get back there within a couple hours, they will chew their way out.
Wow.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. And I mean, they're just like so wild and so rare now. And I love working with them and seeing them in the wild. And then, you know, part of the work is to make sure that we can, conserve them and ensure that they stay in the wild where we are. Because they used to be all over, like down into Michigan and all over, and they're not anymore. So we want to keep them going here in North America.
So, Dr. Oakley, this is Jasmine again. Back to converting my house into being a clinic. So you would probably suggest to not have carpeted floors, more tile floors for these animals?
Right. You know, Jasmine, I have to tell you, my secret goal, like when I grow up, is I'm going to be a pug farmer. So we all have these goals, and I think we should work towards them. I'm a ridiculous pug fanatic, and I want to have, like, geriatric farm for pugs.
Oh, gosh.
For what animal?
Do you need helpers? A pug. The dog.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, I never heard of that as a farm. I never heard of a pug farmer.
Pug farm. Yeah, kind of like a pig farm, but I'm going to be a pug farmer.
Oh, well, you know, see, that's what Jasmine always teases me, because I have a pug, and we have, it's the happiest animal I've ever met. And she says that I only like pugs and kittens.
He only does, though, because we, Connected K and I, follow the special needs goat farm, and he always rolls his eyes when we do that. And he's just only into pugs and kittens.
That's not true.
Yes, you shun every other animal video if it's
not
a pug.
I like giraffes. I like those.
That's good.
I got to ask you this. You are so out in the wild here. When there's a seal that's got its eye damage, or you know, when you're there's a bear that needs to be tagged. Who is calling you to report these animals?
Yeah, and how long is the stick on that boom mic to reach out to that kind of stuff?
It's tough to travel around with the camera crew, that's for sure, but they're fantastic. There's like, you know, four or five of the same people coming back, and they're all major animal lovers. And when we have sad cases, they're crying but still doing their job. It's really touching to work with the Nat Geo crews and Lucky Dog Films. But, you know, the people who are calling me could be anywhere. Like, it's like I said, it's a huge area. There's a lot of wildlife centers there. You know, there's Alaska Wildlife Conservation Center. There's Yukon Wildlife Preserve. There's, you know, Crestwood Wildlife Park. There's American Bald Eagle Foundation. So all of these places, you know, are doing that good work for wildlife, but they may or may not have a vet.
So they have you on speed dial.
Yeah, so basically I'll hop on a plane and fly there. I just did that a couple weeks ago. Flew down to Sitka to work on a big coastal brown bear. So that's what you have to do, and I'm glad to do it.
So, Dr. Oakley, all three of us on this show have animals. So are you saying we can call you to come down to Dallas if there's something going on?
I'm pretty booked. Yeah, I'm definitely better up in the wilds. I have to admit, I've realized the more I'm having to do press and things for the show and travel around that I'm actually claustrophobic and never knew it. And so, but because I've always worked outside, it's kind of funny. Like, I just realized, whoa, good thing I didn't pick an office job, because that would not have gone well.
Okay, well, then we'll just Skype you then if we have animal issues.
Well, I have one last question before we let you go. Let me remind people that Dr. Oakley, Yukon Vet Star, is on Nat Geo Wild on Saturday nights at 10 o'clock, 9 central. But the question I have to ask is, you're kind of unique because you deal with a lot of wildlife, while other vets deal with domesticated or farm animals mainly. But how did you choose that? I mean, how did you choose to end up in one of the most remote parts of the continent to do your work?
Well, I ended up in the Yukon because I was doing a wildlife study when I was in university, and that was through University of Michigan. And I have to be honest, I didn't even know where the Yukon was. Basically, I'm like, Yukon, is that Mexico? But then, you know, just fell in love with the place, and that's what's there. Is I do work on pets, and I do work on these off-grid farms, but it's mostly wildlife. You know, there's like 30,000 people in this place the size of Texas, and there's hundreds of thousands of animals, you know, in terms of wildlife. So, you know, my first job when I got out of university, when I got out of vet school, was hanging out of a helicopter and, you know, putting radio collars on wolves. So, you know, it's just, I don't know how I got so lucky, but
it's so interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Oakley, you probably didn't know, and she took this interview. Hawkeye's actually a Michigan State Spartan.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
So I won't hold it against you, but yeah. I kind of had a feeling, though, when you were talking so much about the saving the Wolverine.
Yeah, it was pretty biased.
Well, how tough they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Continued success. And thank you so much for the time. And we'll be checking you out on Nat Geo Wild Saturday nights. Dr. Michelle Oakley, UConn vet. Thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
Part of the show.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks. And follow me at UConn Vet on Twitter and Insta, and you'll see lots of behind the scenes stuff too.
All right, well, we'll definitely check that out on the Nat Geo Wild channel Saturday nights, Dr. Oakley, UConn vet. And don't forget to also find behind-the-scenes stuff on our social media outlets. And thank you, Jasmine and Connected K, for helping me out on that interview. All right, we shift gears now because the Winter Olympics are just a couple of months away. We've got a couple of Olympic athletes with us today. Alana Nichols competes in the Paralympic Games. She's competed in both the Summer and the Winter Games. She'll be competing in the downhill events in the Winter Paralympic Games. We'll talk to her in just a few moments. But also Ted Ligety, who's won numerous gold medals already in the Olympics. He's a bright, shining star for the U.S. Olympic ski team. And the first question, Ted, I have to ask is, how are you? Because I know last ski season was disappointing for you. You had some injuries. How is the health coming into this year?
Yeah, this is actually the first time I felt healthy in the last 2 years. So I tore my ACL 2 years ago, and then last year I had back surgery. So I'm actually feeling really good now. We're training in Colorado right now, and we have our first World Cup in a couple weeks, and then we're racing actually every single weekend until the Olympics start.
Where do you guys train in Colorado?
We've been in Copper Mountain for the last couple weeks, and then we're there for another week, and then we have our first race in Lake Louise, Canada.
I've only got to go to one World Cup event ever, and you won the event I was at. It was at Beaver Creek a couple years ago.
Awesome, yeah. That's always been a favorite hill of mine. Well, we're competing there first weekend in December, so we'll be back there again, so you should come check it out.
You know, the amazing thing is about, and I'm an avid skier, I love to ski, and I went to Beaver Creek, and I wanted to go down the Birds of Prey run, which is the run that you guys mainly use, correct, when you ski on the World Cup circuit at Beaver Creek?
Yeah, exactly. That's our race hill there. It's an awesome one. It's a pretty harrowing steep pitch at the top there, huh?
Well, that's what I was going to say, because I would say I'm not an expert skier, but I would say I'm advanced skier. And I got out there, and you can't really tell on television what incredible athletes you are until I went down. And I could not believe, one, how steep it was, and two, you guys pretty much just point the skis and go straight down.
Yeah, we're going fast on that one for sure. It's a fun hill. It's the best kind of roller coaster or thrill ride you can possibly get is going down Beaver Creek.
I got down at the bottom. My brother, who's a really good skier too, is like, boy, you don't realize how it's like almost you guys are doing something totally different than I am, and how much at a whole nother level you guys are. It's unbelievable because it was so difficult to get down that hill. I did the big S turns, the traverse, just to get down. So it was really kind of neat. And not only that, correct me if I'm wrong. Also, when you guys run a course on the World Cup circuit, they pretty much ice down the course to make it consistent for everybody. Is that not true?
Yeah, exactly. They spray water on the snow, so it's super icy, and that's the way we like it. So it's smoother for, you know, the whole field. If every single guy that goes down the course, it's changing the hill a little bit. So, you know, we like it to be icy. It's faster and a little smoother for us.
Well, we got the Olympics coming up in February in Korea, Pyeongchang. And is the course there, was it developed exclusively for the Olympics? It wasn't something that was ever on the circuit before, was it?
So actually, my first World Cup win was on the GS Hill in Yongpyeong, which is where the GS is going to be in South Korea. And that's actually the last time we raced there. So that was 12 years ago. We used to race there. And then the speed venues are entirely new venues. So they had a test event there last year and the year before. And so those are brand new, really, in the last couple of years. It's an entirely new facility. But the GS and Fallen Hills, we've actually raced on in years past.
Yeah, I remember watching that test event, I think on like NBC channel or something like that. And it was kind of interesting. So what do you think of the course? I mean, is it a challenging course? Is it a course that's going to suited to guys who just point and go? Or is it going to be suited to a more technical skier?
So the Giant Slalom course, which is the one I've skied on, that's kind of my specialty, is really suits me well. It's an Arkers Hill. It's my place for my first World Cup win as well, so I have good feelings about that. And the speed track is actually a really good track. It's really technical. It has a lot of good features. It's not a super long one, but it has a lot of good features that actually suit me well for Super G, where you have to be a good turner.
Excellent. What about the overall outlook for the U.S. ski team in 2018?
Yeah, we have a great-looking team. A lot of young guys that I think if they, you know, piece it together mentally, they can be really fast. And then you know, we have a deep team both on the men's and women's side. So I think we could have a really good chance here.
Well, you've been to multiple Olympics. I always like to ask Olympic athletes this, and I've never got a chance to ask a winter Olympian. How much time do you guys get to spend enjoying other events, you know, seeing a little bit of the country? Or is it when you're there, it's totally 100% business?
I try to see a couple other events. It's hard when you're like, so I've been normally competing in multiple disciplines. So sometimes my first event is like one of the first couple of days, and then my last event's normally one of the last days. So I try to see some stuff. I mean, of course, like my job there is to go and try to compete at the highest level, but I do try to take in and soak in the whole atmosphere of the Olympics and see some other events and just be able to enjoy the whole, you know, atmosphere of the games.
And those luge guys are crazy. That's a crazy sport, right? You'd never do that.
That one's definitely a crazy one for sure.
Well, Ted, continued success. We'll be rooting you on in 2018. And it's exciting to hear that you feel healthy for the first time in a couple of years. So it'll be a lot of fun this year in Pyeongchang.
Thank you.
And also joining us, another Olympian, Alana Nichols. Alana, you have a very interesting story. You compete in the Paralympics. You're the only female Olympian to medal in both the summer and the winter games. And tell everybody about your events.
Yeah, so I started with wheelchair basketball. I broke my back in a snowboarding accident when I was 17. And then that's the first sport I was introduced to. And as a basketball athlete before my injury, it made sense for me to get involved. Was able to go to Beijing in 2008, and then after that, I got on snow as an alpine ski racer and was able to make it to 2010 to compete in the alpine ski racing event.
Yeah, so you were in Vancouver, and then also in Sochi. And can I ask you this? This event's long gone now. What did you think as an Olympic venue, Sochi? What was your evaluation of Sochi as an Olympic venue?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question because I think every, you know, Olympic and Paralympic site has very unique qualities. Sochi, I thought the mountain, of course, the views were amazing. There was that. The course itself was very demanding. I thought watching the men's downhill was one of the most insane experiences, just even watching it on TV. You know, I think the snow was... it was difficult for the Paralympians, especially because we're 2 weeks after the Olympic Games. The snow, you know, was already being compromised by the weather. And so that was just a difficult experience for us. But, you know, I thought overall the Russian committee, they held a great Games and they were very welcoming. It was an overall really good experience for us.
You and I actually have something in common. We got to actually visit one of the most amazing places here in the skiing industry, and that's in Winter Park, Colorado. I had the pleasure of accompanying some kids from the Scottish Rite Hospital to Winter Park. They have the National Sports Center for the Disabled there, which is just an amazing facility. And that's kind of how you got back into the sport of skiing, correct?
Right. Yeah. So I started at Durango Mountain, but then when I started competing, the National Sports Center for the Disabled gave me that opportunity. So, yeah, I'm so glad you got to visit that organization. It's changing a lot of lives.
Yeah, it really is. And some of those kids, I mean, it was their first time participating in any type of winter sport. And I would like to highly encourage anybody out there who's ever thought about skiing and you thought, well, you know what, because of the situation I'm in, it just can't happen. But as you can attest, skiing is for everybody.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And regardless of your ability, the NSCD will make it happen. So thank you so much for mentioning that. And thanks so much for having us on your show.
The pleasure was all mine. And thank you. I know you have very limited time to spend with us because you guys are in the middle of training. So we want to thank Alana Nichols. Also, Ted Ligety, both from the U.S. Olympic ski team. You can watch them in 2018 in Pyeongchang. And the games start at the end of February. And also, Dr. Michelle Oakley from Dr. Oakley, UConn vet on Nat Geo Wild. And also thanks to Jasmine and Connected K, my co-host on my morning show on 96.3 KSCS Radio, for helping me out with that interview. That completes our podcast today. I want to thank you for making us part of your podcast experience. Remember, the world is out there. Your adventure awaits. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis, and this has been the Travel with Hawkeye podcast.